This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy hour. We're here. 5 o'clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. Scraby's got one more question to finish up the Big Five. Let's get to it.
All right. I also have, if we have time, I had a question in the Big Five. What? Sorry?
Nothing. Go ahead.
If we have time, Chris and I had a question to Chris yesterday about something that happened at Sam Levitt, and I can't say anything because Chris is going to grammar police me. Sam Levitt and I went to dinner, and something happened at the dinner that I want that I needed to have happen. It didn't happen, but we'll get to that when we get to that. First question, I know, I didn't explain that very well. The Green Bay Packers proposed...
At least your grammar was good.
Thank you. I'm trying. At least one part of it is good. That's what I'm striving for. The Green Bay Packers proposed a tush-push rule change, and the final language of the rule goes like this. It's going to be Rule 12, Section 1, and it would be amended to say, quote, no offensive player may immediately at the snap push or throw his body against a teammate who is lined up directly behind the snapper and receive the snap to aid him in an attempt to gain yardage. Basically, you can't push the quarterback from behind. Pushing the quarterback forward on a sneak would become a 10-yard penalty. So, for the rule change to pass, it would need 24 yes votes. Chris, will this pass?
No. The reason it's not going to pass is because everybody can't do it, like the Eagles. And that's just... And if it does pass, it's going to be nothing but... It's going to be sour grapes to the nth degree. These guys can do something that no other team can do. They should not be penalized for it. Having said that, I would write my own rule change, not outlawing the tush-push, but outlawing offensive linemen from grabbing a running back's arm and bringing them forward down the field. That, to me, is not a football play of any kind. You know, when a guy's... You know, about the 9-yard line, and he's trying to get inside the 5, and an offensive lineman just grab the guy and just yank him forward.
Oh,
with him.
I love that.
Hate that.
Oh, interesting.
That's my thing on that.
I'm trying to see that. I'm trying to see that.
Like a scrum of people pushing.
It's kind of a scrum, and the offensive lineman will just grab his own running back and just pull him forward another four or five yards.
Yeah.
That to me is now we're into roller derby, and I'm not a fan of that.
Tony, will this rule pass?
I hope not. I hope it doesn't pass. I for one, don't have an issue with any of it. You know what I'm saying? Even the offensive
even the roller
lineman,
derby move?
Yeah, the roller derby. I don't have a problem with it. It doesn't happen all that much. But I think that this is just how Packers just being, you know, little suckers for not really wanting to
I think
want
the
to
Eagles,
create a rule
I think they play the Packers
it.
And they should line up on the first play of the game and just start
they should just do
them.
It all game long.
Yeah, just every
they
play.
They really should.
Alright.
Yeah, no, I don't think this should pass. I hope it doesn't pass.
There's a lot of rules that are going to be discussed, though. I don't know if you saw that, Scrape.
There's a ton of rules that are
going to
be discussed.
Yeah, that's one of them. The other one is the Lions would like to see the seedings change for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of division champs are 1 through 4, and then wild cards are 5, 6, and 7, you basically just take it by record. So if the best two teams in the conference are in the same division, they're seeded 1 and 2. And they've been trying to do this in football ever since I can remember. And the reason that I don't think they should do it is because if that's what you want to do, then you shouldn't have divisions. There's no reason to have a division. Just put everybody in one long pile up, and whoever the second best record gets the second seed. But if you're going to have a division, to me it ought to mean something to win it. So I don't agree with the Lions there.
I think ever since basketball changed it, you have lost the ability to identify divisions, right?
They have divisions in basketball.
You don't even know what the name of the right.
You don't even
you have
know
no idea what their name.
I know one of them is the Pacific.
Right, that's as far as you're going to get.
But you don't even know who's in it because there's no
Warriors.
Right,
the Pacific teams, Chris.
Okay, that makes that would make sense. Yeah. But keep in mind.
But yeah, I would say the same thing that I think stay away from this. It's cool that you still have to win your division, and that means something in the NFL.
Yeah, you get a home game in the playoffs if you win your division. And, you know, this whole, you know, last year the Vikings had the second best record, right? But they finished in second place. So, you know, you could complain that they should add a better seeding. But the next time around, the Vikings will win the division at 8-8 or 9-8.
Right.
It goes in cycles. Some teams get benefited from it, and some don't.
We are such prisoners of the moment. Like leagues. They want to react to what is, like, not even thinking about the fact that it doesn't happen the same way all the time.
Absolutely. There's a couple more rules I want to throw in. I don't know if I like this one, but the Lions put this one in as well.
I do like this one.
All right. The Lions led the league with 11 defensive holding penalties.
Yeah, I do hate that they're doing this just because they're bad at
well,
this.
Well, that's probably why it came up. They don't think from now on defensive holding should be an automatic first down.
I'm with them.
I kind of agree with this. I felt like this for a little bit.
Okay.
Like, I don't know that all holdings are equal, right? Because some of these are, you know, like little ticky-tacks. Like, they could literally call it every play.
It's especially annoying when it's 3rd and 25 and you get a holding penalty 2 yards downfield.
Automatic.
And now the team gets a first down. That's annoying.
I think that's silly. Yeah.
But guess what? They're not going to change it because that would hurt the offense. They don't want to do anything that's going to ever hurt the offense.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, the defense already has it hard enough, so why not let them have a little bit of a breather by not giving them an automatic first down?
You just answered your own question.
Because they don't want them to have a breather.
They don't want the defense to have any breathers. That's why they still have pass interference be a 60-yard penalty. They want more points on the board. That's always going to be the way, I believe.
I think holding as a 10-yard penalty is on offense is too much.
Yeah, well, welcome back to the world when I was 15.
I know, you told me that before, and that's even crazier.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, holding was 15. I mean, now you're 1st and 25. But they changed that because, again, they want teams to go down and score. So, good idea, Lions, stop holding.
Yeah, right?
That's it. All right, there's some of the rule changes.
Should we get into my little thing I had with Sam, or should we wait?
I don't know. Do we have anything better?
I don't know. Tony, do you? Okay. So Sam and I went to dinner the other night, and I asked this yesterday. But I got a sandwich, and she asked me what side I wanted, and I said I wanted the waffle cut fries.
Now, he was called a Karen online for this
very
yesterday,
much so. This Tony. Is why I need Tony's opinion. Because
hey, I can't wait to hear.
I asked for the waffle cut fries. She said, oh, I'm so sorry. We don't have those today. Do you want anything else? So she's like, we got sweet potato fries, which I'm not a sweet potato fry fan. So then I look at the menu. Sweet potato fries are an added $3.30 charge. So I looked at her and I said, well, because you don't have the regular fries, can I get the sweet potato fries for free? And she just looked at me and matter-of-factly said, no. And I thought that was wrong. If you don't have a product that is free, you should give them the next sort of side for free.
He didn't like being upcharged without any choice.
I didn't have a choice. They didn't have it, so she's like,
You could have got no fries. You could have got no potatoes.
Okay, guess what the other two sides were? Two disgusting sides.
What were the two sides?
Coleslaw and potato salad. Like, what? How basic do we need to be?
Two disgusting sides.
How basic are we?
So they technically had another...
They had another choice, but he didn't want to go there.
Two other choices.
I wanted the waffle fries. I did not want the coleslaw. But she goes, you can have the sweet potato fries And then I I really did push back. Twice. You can ask Sam. And she held her ground.
I don't need to ask Sam.
Twice.
Well, good for her. I'm glad she held her ground on you there.
So are you on their side, Tony?
Yes, because they gave you options, man. They gave you two options. They didn't have any more fries. They were out.
Who runs out of french fries? Anymore.
Hey, that's a great question. That's a whole other conversation. How about the conversation we're having right now?
Never going back to that restaurant again.
It's not like they didn't have any other free options. They initially had french fries, potato salad, coleslaw. Ran out of fries, coleslaw, potato salad.
I sat down with three choices. Then you limited them to two.
To two, yeah.
And then I didn't want either of those.
Do you know there are some places that only have one choice? You wouldn't even have the second options?
Options two or three? What kind of world do we live in where you're not giving the customer what they want?
Hey, you know,
they don't.
Saying,
they normally don't give the customer what they want when the customer wants free stuff.
Right.
You shouldn't be able to walk into a store and go, I'd like this shirt for free. And then the person goes, well, the customer's always right. Take it away.
No. They should have. You know, I watch a lot of Bar Rescue. I watch a lot of Kitchen Nightmares. John Taffer would have given me those fries for free because he knows that if they run out of something, that is their fault, not my fault.
Yeah, no, I don't think he would agree.
I kind of agreed with you for a minute on this yesterday until people started calling you a Karen, and then I enjoyed that too much.
Yeah, you just wanted me to be a Karen.
Yeah. That's true. I did not want to, yeah.
Man, Junior says, stop being, what do you say? Choose something else, Karen.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. You got to choose something else, man.
I can't believe that I am so alone in this. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, you're definitely alone. I mean, because.
Sorry, Scrape.
It's all good, Scrape.
I'm just realizing that I might be a Karen.
You know what I just realized?
You just now realized that, though?
Yeah.
Oh, you are? Man, what do you mean you might be a Karen?
You got Karen.
Hang on a second. I'm going to call up Karen in the Wikipedia. Well, there's your photo.
Padres diehard says, John Taffer would have called you an idiot and belittled you in front of the bar. He may have.
He might have.
That's what he does.
Let's get to break. Scrape, where are we going next?
I think we should just talk a little bit about the Padres, the roster, just get everybody caught up to date on things.
There you go. More Padre talk on the other side. Right here on Gwen and Chris.
All right, 5:18 is the time. Chris Hello. Tony Gwynn Jr. in Peoria. Padres had the day off today. Scraby's alongside here in the Odyssey Palace Studios. Got one of these, and it's all in one piece because the brackets haven't really started yet. How long till it's torn to shreds, you know? Doesn't take long, usually. I'm bringing it up because we're having our own NCAA tournament challenge here on the program, on the station, 97.3, The Fan. And we'd love for you to enter your NCAA bracket picks. Go to 97.3thefansd.com. Still time to get in there. Bragging rights are on the line. So take your best shot. My picks are in there. Scraby, you're in.
Yes, I'm in.
Tony, we got to get you in. I don't know if Tony's
in.
Oh, you're in.
Okay,
good. Yeah. So everybody get their picks in. Brackets, you know.
You guys just did one, right?
I just did one. And we talked about this yesterday, Tony. I want to get your thoughts on this. Most people fill out six brackets, seven brackets, 10, you know.
That's too many.
And, yeah, to me, you can fill out as many as you want. But you have to make a determination on the one that counts. Because otherwise, you don't get credit. Like, if you pick Baylor to beat Duke in the second round in one of your brackets, but the other 10 you pick Duke, you don't get credit if Baylor beats Duke. Am I making any sense?
Yeah, no.
You know, pick a bracket that you're going with. That's the thing.
Listen, when you're gambling, I think it's different, right? When you're gambling for money, you want to try to have multiple things to get your chance.
Right,
to
okay,
win.
Okay, I see that.
That's different. But in terms of this type of deal, what we're doing, I think one is the number.
You get one bracket, so make it count. Mount St. Mary's, another team I don't know the nickname of. taking on American. This is a 16 versus 16 matchup, and it's very much looking like Mount St. Mary's is going to advance. They lead American 70-53. About 8 minutes to go. The Mountaineers, the Mount St. Mary's Mountaineers.
Yeah, what do you think American is?
I know the Eagles.
Oh, wow.
Are they?
Yes.
Anyway, Mount St. Mary's will play. Right. What else would they be? Mount St. Mary's will play Duke in the, quote, first round. One more game later tonight, Xavier against Texas. And then I must say, we maybe overuse this phrase, but tomorrow's one of the best days on the sports calendar. Scraby says no?
For sure.
I think it is, man. 9 o'clock.
I do, too.
First game. You got your brackets out. March Madness. You're ready. I mean, just game after game. I mean, what is it? 32 games tomorrow? 16 games? I mean, every one of them practically comes down to the wire. They're shifting back and forth. You got four channels. I think it's a pretty good day. I think it's a pretty good day.
I agree.
Scrape, no?
I can't say it.
You wouldn't put it way up there, huh?
You didn't say it was the number one day, did you?
No, I said just one of the best days of the year on
okay.
the sports calendar.
I can agree with that.
Yeah.
I heard it as you said it was the best day, but...
Well, yeah. Give me one that beats it in your estimation. Draft day?
No.
No shot.
Not even Super Bowl. I would say...
Yeah, I don't think Super Bowl day beats it.
I would
so
say...
So what beats it?
First day of the NFL season. I mean...
All right.
That is, like, that is really good for
okay,
me.
You like that? I don't know.
But the March Madness thing...
The March Madness day one means a lot more than day one of the NFL season.
And on the West Coast, you start at 9 a.m. You get all day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's better because it's all day. Like, you get that bad boy, you know.
Yeah.
I think this is the best day. Personally.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I think it's definitely one of the best days, but I think you'd be hard-pressed to pick one better tomorrow. Now, Friday's the same day, but it's the second day, so you're kind of used to it at that point. But the first day, man, it's fresh. I mean, tomorrow morning, 9:15, Creighton and Louisville. You're there. You don't care.
Are
when
you?
Yeah, I am. Well, I'm not tomorrow because I'm getting on an airplane. But I would want to be there. And then the final game tomorrow night is at 7:10 p.m. So you're basically going to have games from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 12 straight hours. I think it's great. Love it.
You know, opening day has grown on me since I started working here because I've seen how important it is to people, how much fun it can be.
You're talking opening baseball day now?
Yeah, opening like the real opening
day.
Well,
opening day can't be in the running because Tony Gwynn Sr. hated it. And that's my rule. That's my rule on
all
that.
All right, best sports day of the year, the second
that,
baseball
that's the,
game.
That's the,
right.
That's the thing about tomorrow, right, is that it's not totally based off of just one team. Sometimes the Padres have opened up, and they've been one of, like, two games playing that day. So opening day could be different for every team, depending on which day that is. But opening day is up there, too, though. There's so many. I mean, you can – it's easier to follow along the Thursday day of games – versus trying to follow along opening day of all the baseball games, I think.
I'm not suggesting this to anybody out there, or maybe I am. If you're going to call in sick one day a year to work, I think tomorrow would be the day you'd pick if you had your choice. Don't waste it.
Waste it for a day you're actually needing off, like...
Yeah, tomorrow.
Okay.
I want to see every game.
Yeah. He said, yeah.
Like I also tomorrow. Think it's different because
every game.
When I worked before radio, I worked in a marketing department, basically. And so for the first 2 days, they allowed us to like sit in front of the TV and just watch all day long. So that is cool.
That's pretty
here,
good.
I mean, sports is kind of my job, so it's a part of the gig. So I think if you're working in regular office buildings and they let you watch, that is cool.
I think one thing we can do to provide a public service to all the NCAA basketball fans out there, I know that True TV on Spectrum is channel 39. The reason I say it is because True TV is one of the networks that carries games tomorrow, and every year you have to re-find where True TV is because you don't use it. I believe on DirecTV it's 246. So, you know, mark that stuff down because tomorrow you're going to want to find True TV And you may as well know it ahead of time.
The Practical Jokers Network.
That's what else they show the rest of the year is the show Impractical Jokers.
I didn't even know they had that many episodes, but apparently they do.
Yeah, that's what True TV normally does. But they will be carrying the games, of course, CBS, TBS, TNT. Four networks, usually four games at a time. I think it's a hell of a fun day tomorrow. So enjoy it. But it's made more fun if you got your brackets and you pick them and you get them in. So go to 97.3 The Fan SD and sign up. Who did you pick to win it all, Scrape? Are you going to share?
Sure.
All right.
I have to go back.
And... You don't remember? Your notes?
It was against Duke. I know that.
You say Duke's going to lose the championship game.
We did this through ESPN?
Correct.
Yeah.
I picked Florida.
Florida.
Yep.
I picked Florida.
You did?
I did.
To win it all.
I haven't seen anybody not pick Florida yet.
Oh, well, then I got to change it.
Jay Billis picked Florida. Dick Vitale picked Florida.
I know who I picked.
Who'd you pick to win it, Tony?
I picked the Dukies.
You went with Dukie. All right.
Yeah.
Ugh.
There we go.
You went with Dukie is not the sentence I needed right there.
My wife, I'm just throwing this out there. My wife, and we know this, she's always in the running at her work in the pool. She's won it, I think, two of the last 3 years.
Okay.
For some reason, she has great success doing this without my help, and she picked Houston to win it all. So, just a note.
I got them winning one of them.
You got them winning one of them. Yeah, but is it your real one, Tony? That's the key. It's got to be your real
one. I only have one in this particular one, so it's not. I don't have Houston in that one. I got Houston losing to Duke in mine.
Oh. Okay. What about, I'm feeling the North Carolina team. That game, I think Springboard. I have him in the Final Four. That might be a little crazy.
All the way to the Final Four after that last night.
Yeah, it might be a little crazy, but they convinced me last night, the announcers, that they've been playing much better than people have given them credit for. So
who?
The Tar Heels.
You convinced by the people talking about the game?
Yeah, they were bringing up stats about in like the last 11 games they've scored this many points and they have won this many games. You know, whatever they said made me feel like this team is about to go on a roll. So,
well, if they shoot 14 of 20 from three every game, they'll be in the Final Four. I'd agree with that.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's not easy to do.
No, but it doesn't happen.
They looked
often
unstoppable. And frankly, as we pointed out earlier, the Aztecs looked quite stoppable. So it was a combination of the two, unfortunately, last night. All right, let's step aside.
We didn't talk Padres.
Well, we can do that when we come back. Nothing happened today. It's a day off.
I know. I was just trying to pay off on the tees.
So you want to update nothing?
Just trying to pay off on the tees.
All right. Scraby will update nothing when we come back. One final fun segment on Gwen and Chris.
Back at it again here as we finish up. Gwen and Chris. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Sello, Matt Scraby. Scraby wanted to update everyone on Padre news. Scraby?
First, the biggest fan.
Oh, that's right. See, I was trying to be funny there. we had something else that we were supposed to be doing. Biggest fan, congratulations to today's biggest fan, Chris Warburton of San Diego. Give us a call within the next 10 minutes, 833-288-0973, and you'll qualify for our grand prize, 20 tickets for you and your friends for a night in our Odyssey suite at a Padres game later this season. Remember to register your name at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. Again, that is Chris Warburton. Give us a call. Scraby said you wanted to update the folks on Padre news.
I hate
what
you
do
guys.
You got?
You just had a little more time to think of some.
You know, you guys are like, Scraby, what are we doing next? Well, Padres. And then Chris goes, well, I got my bracket we'll talk about instead.
Because the bracket's newsworthy today. The Padres are not.
They're literally not doing anything
today. I mean, they're off today. Everybody's taking a little rest.
Sorry, everybody. I tried.
Hey, that was you should have seen your camera. Like, as the slowness of your head going down, the camera also, like, followed you down, too.
It was very sad as well.
Kind of dramatic, yeah.
Do you want to, like, we could always update the Cactus League standings. But, I mean,
Rob has a great point. This is the news I need to update everybody on. The Padres start next Thursday.
That is. Did you guys, I don't know if you guys, well, yeah, no, I doubt many of you guys have been paying attention, but we have reached a 3-hour mark in a couple of games here in the last week.
Oh, yes, you
and
have.
A rule of thumb for Jesse and I, if we get to 3 hours in a spring training game, you by fault have to now have a Cactus League scoreboard update. So we ran through the scores the other day
of the Cactus
League. We almost got to the 3:30 mark, in which you then get an out-of-town scoreboard of the Grapefruit League.
They wow, you can go Grapefruit there. League too, huh?
Oh, yeah. We got it all. Full service.
How long, spring training. By the way, how I just thought of this for some reason. How long before baseball rids itself of the pesky names Cactus League and Grapefruit League and starts calling them things like the Honda Civic Car League?
It's on its way.
And that's the, a great question.
You know, the Miller Genuine Draft Beer League.
They've
or
already sponsored the automated balls and strikes thing with T-Mobile.
That's what I mean. I mean, why are you wasting valuable space with these names? Cactus League isn't getting anybody any money. But you call
that's
it the
thing is I don't know how much attention Cactus League is getting, saying,
like, well, but I mean it's
a great question though. It does seem like we are
missing another opportunity to make money, and God knows those baseball owners need a little more cash.
Yes. By the way, when is the final deadline for the roster spots? Is it day of opening day? Is it day before opening day?
I think it's day of.
Day of. That's what I thought. But I didn't
so they'll probably send it out that morning
yeah.
to everybody,
yeah.
at least to us, and
yeah.
then we'll spread it around to everybody else. But it's going to be interesting. It's going to be really interesting. There's no way, unless there are some injuries between now and then, that a two or three names that you think are going to be there are not going to be there. That just has to be.
I mean, AC is kind of giving some hints, at least on
you
who,
think?
You know, it is. Yeah, if you go read some of the articles, he's virtually said there are some guys who seemingly are locks, based on the conversations he's heard from different people. So,
you want to share those, because I didn't see those articles. Maldonado one.
I don't know that he went into that. Let me pull it up.
I didn't see this.
Well, it hasn't been printed in the paper yet, so you. Chris does say that to me all the time.
They haven't tapped it out on the
on the
side of the cave walls yet?
No, Gutenberg is still putting the press together.
Well, when it happens, let me in on it.
Let me see if I can find it. All right, let's see.
We have time, so.
Oh, okay, you turned the music on me. Okay.
I did read that AC, in all seriousness, was saying that Kyle Hart does have a really good shot at the fifth spot.
Scared me. Turn the music off, did you? Okay. I can't think that fast, talk. I think, they were talking. Jay Hayward, they were talking
about.
Well, he's
in. He's got to be in.
I can't find it right now. So, I'll have to have it for you guys tomorrow.
Yeah.
But
I mean, to me, you got Gurriel. You've got Iglesias. Sorry. Gone through these names so many times, I'm kind of getting confusing myself. But you've got Eggy. And then you've got, Sheets, who's done great. And then you've got Tirso, who had a hot start, and Oscar Gonzalez, who was there for a while. And you got Forrest Wall, and you got Brandon Lockridge. Still got Tyler Wade. And there's just way
Forrest
all
Wall's
of those
not
guys.
In the competition no more.
Forrest is out.
He was designated.
Oh, run, Forrest, run.
Yesterday.
All right. He's out.
I do think.
But you
I
know what I'm saying?
Sheets,
there's a bunch of
Sheets
names, and there's not room for all of them.
No, there's not. There's not. And it's not. But here's the thing. Here's the other thing. If you haven't actually been watching these games, you're not going to be able to just look at a sheet of paper
yes,
and be like,
and that's
this
why.
This is who is should be on the team. It just doesn't work that way. And so, we'll see. Got some, we got, They got some good options, it seems like, right now.
I would agree with that. Have we delayed long enough, Scrape, to check traffic?
Yes.
No, we got 30 more seconds.
We can go to traffic now. It's okay.
Okay, let's go to traffic. Peoria Sports Complex here. Gwen and Chris has traveled here to Arizona, hanging out with the guys here at spring training. And Gavin Sheets joins us here, who is having a terrific spring thus far. Gavin, welcome to Gwen and Chris. How are you today?
Doing great. Appreciate you guys having me on.
No problem, man. You've come in, new place for the first time in your career. First, what was your experience walking into a new clubhouse for the first time? I mean, I having done it a few times myself,
yeah.
It's kind of an exciting, uncomfortable feeling all
sure.
at the same time.
Sure.
What
yeah.
was your experience?
Yeah, you just, you know, obviously you're a little nervous. You're excited. You're excited to meet all the new faces. And, you know, luckily I had Dylan Cease that I played with for a
That's
bunch
right.
of years. So kind of lean on him and you know, came in with him. And then, but just unbelievable group of guys, unbelievable group of people here. And between the staff, the front office, the players here, just, you know, it took me like 2 days and I felt like I'd been here for my whole
That's
career.
That's awesome.
So testament to these guys here. But no, it was a very easy transition.
What was the process like for you to become a member of the Padre organization? You get in touch with them, they get in touch with you. How did this work? And then what was said to you? Was anything promised you? Or was it like, you know, you're here, now yeah. show us what you can do?
No, yeah, I think it was a little bit of both. You know,
yeah.
they reached out their interest to me and some other teams. And, you know, I saw an immediate fit here. I obviously loved playing for Tony La Russa, and Tony La Russa, I told him who I was talking to, and you know, he just loved he loved Schilt, and he thought that would be a great fit as well. So
yeah.
I think Schilt talked to him and I talked to him as well. And so but then it's looking at the fit and looking at what, you know, nothing was promised to me, nor did I expect anything to be promised. You know, I didn't want any false promises or anything like that, but what was promised was a chance to compete. And you know, I wasn't afraid of competition. I wanted to come in and, you know, be a part of a winning franchise. You know, I watched what they did last year. I know the talent that they have here. I know the superstars they have here. And for me, it was coming in and fitting in and being a guy to add some depth.
Victor Rodriguez is the hitting coach here, and you get an opportunity to kind of work with him. He came in last year and changed the kind of approach and philosophy that we had seen here in years past. What has been your experience working with Victor?
It's been incredible. It's funny. Victor actually was my dad's roommate all the way back in 1982 in minor league ball. So,
yes. Oh, my God.
So we had that familiarity. And, you know, he's gotten to see me a bunch. He was with Cleveland when we were playing them in 21 and 22. And so we saw them a bunch. And I was swinging the bat well at the time. So he knew what I was capable of doing. And, you know, he kind of saw some things over time that I changed that we wanted to get back to and get back to kind of the way I swung the bat in 21. And but just what I love about him is how positive he is,
yeah.
you know, how simple he keeps it. You know, it's not about – we're not chasing power here. We're not chasing, you know, Petco Park hitting, keeping a gap to gap, staying in the center of the field and being as short as possible. And when you know, it adds a lot of power all of a sudden. So, no, it's been great getting back working with him and, you know, all these guys here.
You know, Gavin Sheets, we're sitting out here in the back at one of the little tables here out in the courtyard, and I can see why now, Tony, he hit one completely out of the Peoria Sports Complex. Yeah, it's a big kid. And so it's great to be swinging well, I'm sure, right now. Go back to being a draft choice, second-round White Sox, and your mental state coming into being a professional baseball player, has it turned out any differently than you imagined? And if so, has that helped you or hurt you along your path?
You know, I think Tony knows this really well as well. It's just, you know, I think our dads really prepared us for what
yeah.
what was to come.
Yeah.
You know, you know the baseball side of it. You kind of know what to prepare for in terms of, you know, getting ready to play every day and all that stuff. But just everything else that comes with it outside
yeah.
of baseball.
Yeah.
And I think that we were blessed to have dads that did it. Obviously the big league level, Tony, obviously at a Hall of Fame level. And, you know, to have that support system and just to help us walk us through it. You know, obviously I think that, you know, there's the ups and downs that you have to go through as a player yourself,
yeah.
That your dads can't prepare you for, but, you know, just how to handle things and be a pro, You know, I think I was blessed to be able to have my dad there and, you know, kind of lead me through that before I even got to it.
Yeah, in terms of that, it's truly an advantage. I mean, most of the guys come into the locker room and they're having to, like, literally figure it out on their own.
Right.
We kind of had a blueprint to kind of follow in order to be a pro. I got to ask you, because beginning of the spring, numbers-wise, it wasn't going well. But the thing I noticed was you were hitting the ball hard.
Yeah.
It was just on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, a week passed, the ball starts getting on the line. When you come in competing for a job, right, how difficult is it to stay with it? Because I remember the first three or four games, you were hitting balls right on the screws. It was just right at guys. Mm-hmm. But in the back of your mind, you know, even though I'm swinging a bat, well, I want these numbers to look a certain way.
Sure.
How do you kind of, you know, do the mental gymnastics to keep your mind where it's at?
Yeah, it's tough. Obviously, you come in and, you know, you want numbers right away. You want to make a team right away. And, you know, it's a different spot than I've been in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you start to press a little bit, but at the same time, it's like you want to dive into these guys. You want to see their ideas. You still want to work on stuff. You know that in the long run, when everything clicks and you make these changes, everything's going to, you know, in the long run, it's going to benefit you. And so it's kind of that fine line of like, man, I had a great, you know, from 8 to 12 o'clock today, my work was unbelievable. And then you go and you roll over one at bat, and you're like, just don't
make it a big thing.
Don't panic. Right. Don't panic. Like,
so, you know, hard to do,
it's
though,
so
right?
Hard. It's like, man, I had 4 hours of unbelievable. I had 100 swings today that were really good, and then my one at bat today I rolled over. I punched down. It's like, how do you not go back and change everything? But, no, I stuck with it and just stuck with these guys and loved what they were doing. And then, obviously, you start to see some results and start to be like, all right, this is why I was buying in.
Has the 6 home runs you've hit in spring training, has that changed your feeling within this organization? Do you sense it's maybe changed their feeling about you a little bit? Do you hope it has?
I hope so. No, it's been – it's been awesome. Just seeing, you know, the fruits of labor come to work and just buying into what these guys had, these guys' ideas, and just obviously seeing it translate to the field has been awesome. I'm taking swings that I haven't taken in the last couple of years, and that's what stands out to me. It's not just the home runs, it's the way I'm driving the baseball. It's, you know, going left on left to center field against the White Sox, and you know, it's just the way I'm hitting the baseball. You know, if they weren't home runs, it wouldn't change my thoughts about it. It's just like just driving the baseball, keeping it low line drives that are just rising up. And, hopefully it's brightened their thoughts in me. Put me in a good spot, obviously, this time of year. But I think I just know in the long run this is where I was supposed to be, and the work's coming out.
Now, defensively, where are you most comfortable?
First base.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's been great to get a lot of work in left field. You know, only played right field my career.
I only asked because, you know, you've moved well out there. It hasn't looked like it's an uncomfortable spot for you.
Right. Yeah, my whole career I played first, and then obviously got up with Chicago and kind of learned the outfield in the big leagues. When you got Jose Abreu at first base and MVP, you figure out.
And so, where you fit in, right?
It's like Tony told me, you figure it out or you just won't be here. And I was like, all right, I'll figure it out. And so, getting a lot of reps in left field and working with Macias here has been awesome. And, you know, just being as comfortable as possible in a bunch of different situations, whether it's DH, first, outfield, you know, the more opportunities I have to give them where I can get in the lineup, the better off.
Well, Gavin, you're off to – you've been having – I shouldn't say off to because we're getting close to the end.
Sure are.
You've been swinging a bat well. Continued success, man. We appreciate you coming to spend some time.
I like what he said about, I hope they're noticing. They better be noticing or they're not. They don't have a pulse. I mean, they got to notice. Come on.
We appreciate your time.
Thank you, guys. It's awesome. Appreciate it.
All right, Gavin Sheets. He's been hot. Hot, hot, hot. 6 homers this spring, and we'll see if it's good enough to get him on the opening day roster. His dad, by the way, was Larry Sheets, who was a catcher DH for the Baltimore Orioles back in the mid-'80s.
I like how he I like when guys are humble and they kind of know. They kind of, like when Tody said at the end, a guy with a, or no, this was Brandon Lockridge, but what he said about he didn't expect anything, he's coming in, he wants to win his spot. I like guys like that. That don't think that they're just going to walk in and
don't expect it to be handed to them.
No,
don't just think because of who they are, they get it.
Yeah, they want to work for it.
Well, he's working. I mean, and really, I don't think a lot of people would have predicted him getting one of those last 5 or 6 spots at the beginning.
Yeah, no, I mean, we didn't think that at all.
I really don't think how you could deny him at this point. So
you can't really.
All right, here's what we got coming up the next couple of days, just so you're up to date. Tomorrow, Scraby and Tony will be with you the first hour or two of the show. I'll be flying down to Louisiana, but I should be there for the second part of the show.
Yep.
Live from Baton Rouge.
Baton Rouge.
Friday, Scraby is going to be broadcasting live, but not by his lonesome, because all the Scrabinators say they're going to be out there to support him.
They are.
So you come out and join him as well. He's broadcasting live during our show from Dave and Buster's in Mission Valley from 2 to 6. And, of course, not only are you broadcasting, you'll have all the NCAA tournament games and all the food and fun of Dave and Buster's. Now, just so you know, that all starts at 6 a.m. on Friday.
Yes, it does.
With the... What's the name of that morning show? I listened to some of it today.
Ben and Woods.
Benjamin and Steven.
Benjamin and Steven.
Yeah, no, Ben and Woods will be there Friday morning. Braden will be there in the midday, and then Scraby in the afternoon. But I'll also be with you via Zoom.
We're going to try to put you up on a screen. I'm not sure.
No way, really?
Yeah, we're going to try to, because it would be weird just to have you just talking over the loudspeaker from...
But that's scary. If you're going to put me like on a screen in the restaurant, I don't know if I want
that. Yeah, just don't put your face too close.
No kidding, man. I cut myself shaving today. I don't want everybody to see that on the big screen at Dave and Buster's Friday.
Can I say that, Tony?
It kind of makes me nervous a little.
Tony's still off. We have his camera on right now.
Where is he?
I think he's watching TV, honestly. Oh. He loses track of time sometimes when he's in his little apartment.
Wait, let me see something. Do we have a good shot? No, yes, we have a good shot of the two of the four doors.
Yes, just the two, the Narnia doors.
That are behind where he sits.
Yes.
That's so funny.
That is pretty funny. Oh, there he is, there he is, oh, there he is.
Just in time to say goodbye.
That's right. Yeah, nice job.
Good. Yeah. All right, so anyway, make sure you Scraby Friday, make a note of that to go give him some love and support out of Dave and Buster's Friday afternoon. All right, Tony, wrap her up.
It's been real. Good 4 hours today. Good 4 hours today. Padres back in action tomorrow. Until tomorrow.
Yeah.
Let's do it again. More Gwen and Chris then. Have a good night. Scraby Chronicles next.